Walk in Christ Jesus. Glory. It is exciting. And you know, you don't have to say that just because it's the cliche or the end thing to say, but that it's a living reality. You know, stuff happens to everybody. But the effect of those things and how we respond to those things determine where we are in our walk and relationship with Christ Jesus. If our relationship is right and solid in Him, we're like the palm tree, bless God. We're like the palm tree. And obviously that was not the palm tree. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5. I'm not going to be very long. We're like the palm tree, planted, established, not to be moved all around, all over the place, but to be put in a place where our roots can sink down deep down in the earth to solidify and to strengthen the growth, the height, the stature that we shall accomplish in Christ Jesus. Paul said it like this to the church at Ephesus, that we may grow into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ and the stature and the fullness of Christ Jesus, that we're no longer tossed to and fro or carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive, But that we grow into the measure and the stature and the fullness of Jesus. That's what God is looking for in each and every one of us. And as we shared a little bit Sunday, you know, everything that comes at us is really to shape, mold, and fashion us into that position of being like Christ. Hold your finger at Hebrews chapter 5, and you can even stay there, but I just want to share this with you because it continues to ring in my spirit, and I've shared it before. I think we may have even used it as a post before of 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. Whoever says he abides in him ought, as a personal debt, to walk and conduct himself in the same way in which he walked and conducted himself. The himself self is Jesus. And so to know how to walk the way he walked is to study his life. We don't have to go, you know, nothing wrong with it. But we don't have to go to a Bible college or a seminary, if you will, in order to learn about him. We have four books that talk about the very life of Jesus Christ: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's the gospel according to Matthew, the gospel according to Mark, the gospel according to Luke, and the gospel according to John. Those four gospels reveal Jesus. If we get rooted and grounded and established enough in those gospels, when we read the Old Testament, we start to see Jesus all through the Old Testament. And so we can learn a lot about his life. And it's like, if anyone, I got to read it again because the way the Amplify says it, it's so good. Whoever says he abides in him. Now, what does it mean to abide in him? To live. Okay, to live. That's a good word. Everybody agrees with to live? Okay, to live, to dwell. Okay. What does that mean? We only have 9 minutes. Okay, live your life like he lived his life. Okay. To stay in. To stay in. What does that mean? To stay in. Be connected. Jesus said in John chapter 15, I am the true vine. and you are the branches. Every branch in me that beareth fruit, my Father pruneth. Pruneth. Every branch that does not bear fruit, he plucks off, and is good for nothing but to be thrown in the fire. It is not the Father's desire to pluck any branch off. It is the Father's desire to purge, to prune, to clean, if you will, to make it bear more fruit. And the fruit is representing the life of Christ Jesus. Paul said it like this to the Galatians. He said, I have, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I'm not quoting it exactly verbatim, but it's close to it. The life that I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He said, my little children of whom I labor and travail in birth pains again until Christ be fully formed within you. Again, abide in him. You know, it's like right now we're in 1793 Vineyard Drive. This is not our residence. It is our residence in the sense of the corporate family of Threshing Floor Tabernacle. This is where we come to tabernacle with God. This is our corporate meeting place with God when we come together. But we all have our own individual addresses. And the reason we call them our addresses is not because this is one of the main reasons, but it's not the only reason. But one of the main reasons is because we pay the rent or we pay the mortgage there. We got something invested in there. Or we still live with our parents, and our parents pay the rent there. So we consider it our home because we regularly spend time there. Amen? If we stay somewhere else, it is only for a short visit, hopefully, because we don't want to overstay our welcome in a place that somebody has been cordial and gracious to let us come and spend the night, if you will, or something like that. But normally, when we go stay somewhere else, it's only for a temporary time, but our permanent address and abode is that place that we live at, that we put on our applications if we're applying for jobs or we're applying for whether it's a car loan or, you know, something like that. When it deals with business, and they say, what is your address? We tell them what that address is. And if we haven't been there long enough, anybody with me so far? If we haven't been there long enough, what do they ask you next? Your previous address. You haven't been there longer than 2 years, you're not considered permanent. That's pretty good if you just think about it and meditate on it. Because they want to see if you have some kind of stability. They want to see if you are settled in a place. And if you've done, like, well, I lived over here for 10 years. And so that tells them that, okay, responsible. Okay, they had a place, but they just moved here. You may have moved because of job. You may have moved because of, you know, a better opportunity, if you will. You may have moved because, you know, the place where you were, something happened and you had to move out of there. But you move into a place, and that place is considered to be your permanent residency, abiding in him. You move into Christ. You move your life into Christ Jesus. You abide in him. Oh, yeah, you live, and Brother Finn and Sister Finn live over in Oakland, but they abide in Christ. It's where you spend the bulk and the most of your time. If you're all over the place, they don't consider it a permanent residency. If you're all over the place with your life, it doesn't reflect that you live in Christ Jesus. He who abides in him ought to, as a personal debt, live and conduct themselves the same way and the same manner in which he lived and conducted himself. So we got to learn about this Jesus, and you just can't get it in 15, 20, 30 minutes, 1 hour. It's got to be more, not condemnation. It's just a living reality. It's where you spend the most time. It's where you lay your head down to rest, where you sleep, where you eat. Are you getting me? Where you go to on a regular basis. When you leave work, you go home. When you leave church, you go home. So you have activities of the day, but you still go home. And it's the character and conduct, it's the environment at home that impacts everywhere you go. If you've got a violent home where, say for instance, you're in a relationship, I'm not trying to expose anybody's business, so don't nobody think about who's he talking about. This is just throwing out. If you live in a violent home environment where it's always hostile, it's going to reflect in you when you go out in public. People will look at you like, what's wrong with them? Something must be wrong with them. And you may even leak it out or share it with somebody. And they may say, oh, they really have a hard time. Either they're having a hard time with the parents, or the husband's having a hard time with the wife, or they're in a relationship that's bad. He's abusing her or she's abusing him, dot, dot, dot. Or the children are acting up and, oh, they got drug problems. They got alcohol problems. They got all of these problems. And so it reflects in everything you do. But if you go home to Jesus, are you listening to me? If you go home to Christ Jesus, you sure you dwell in Jesus? Because the Jesus that I read about, he went through hell and came out victorious. This season that we're celebrating, Christ rose from the dead. If we are dwelling in him, and listen, he not only wants us to dwell in him, if any man be in Christ dwelling in him, he's a new creation altogether. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become brand new, and all things are of God. But not only does he want us living in him, he wants to live in us. Bless God. Not that he wants to take on our character and our nature. He was already made in the similitude of man. God fashioned a body for him. In the volume of the book, Jesus said, the psalmist said, but he was prophesying the words of the Lord. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. You prepared a body for me. And so it says, Jesus came in the likeness of man. He was God wrapped up in flesh. And the whole purpose of it was to redeem us back to God. Hallelujah. Bring us home to eternity. Not just when we die, but right now. Because the very life that Jesus lived on this earth, this is what John is talking about. As he conducted himself, as he walked, let us walk. That's got to be our pursuit. That's got to be our ambition. That's got to be our goal. That's got to be our objective. I want to be like Christ. I want Christ to be fully formed within me. Not an invalid, if you will. And I'm not saying anything negative or trying to, make people look bad or something. But I don't want him handicapped. I don't want him deformed in me. I don't want him weak in me. I don't want him impotent in me. I want the Lion of the Tribe of Judah to roar through me with his life that he may be glorified. I owe it to him as a personal debt. It's the least I can do for him. And we got to get to that place that we see what he's done for us.
You know, whether we acknowledge it or not, he has done this for us. Whether we take part in it or not, he has done this for us. Whether we encounter him or not, he has done this for us. Listen, he said, it is absolutely necessary, my emphasis, that I go away, because if I don't come, the helper won't come. But if I go, I'll send him to you. And he sends the Holy Ghost not to come in and be a spectator. Not to come in and just keep everything status quo. The Holy Ghost is too powerful just to come in and do nothing. He comes in ready to do the will of God and ready to carry us into the purposes of God. That's what he comes to do. He doesn't come to fight. He doesn't come to argue. He doesn't come to debate. He doesn't come to listen to us whine and moan and grovel. He doesn't come for that. He comes, I came to bring you victory. I came to bring you joy. I came to bring you peace. I came to manifest my glory and power in you. Love, joy, and peace. That's what the world wants. The world ain't going to get it unless they come to Jesus. But you get it free of charge. It's just a byproduct of the Holy Ghost living on the inside of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Brother OCL. Glory to God. It's a byproduct of the Spirit of the living God in you. It automatically comes as a result of his abiding, taking up residence within us. We can fight it and resist it. And when we do, we grieve and quench him. It's like going to a funeral. It's like going into deep depression. More and more people are sinking into the bowels, if you will, or depths of depression than ever before. And I'm not just talking about the secular or the worldly. I'm talking about in the church of the living God. Why? Because of what we have to deal with and go through. Can you imagine Jesus? Do you think Jesus is depressed? Do you even think, this came across my mind, and I'm going to wrap it up real soon. This came across my mind. Do you think Jesus is saying, Father, I wish I would have came in their time. Man, I could have me a Learjet. Man, Father, I can live. Oh, man, I can have so much money. Man, Father, I can just dress so cool. I wouldn't have to wear those sandals no more. I wouldn't have to wear that stuff. Oh, man, Father, I wish I would have came in. Do you think he's saying that? No, he's not. He's not moved by those things, just material things. He's like, Father, if they could only get a glimpse of the glory that's here, if they could only see what we see, if they could only know what we have to give to them, they would look at that and say, this ain't nothing but rubbish. This is nothing but a trick to deceive and lead us away from God. But we have everything that we need. So when we live in him, when we abide in him, when we dwell in him, we start to become influenced by him. How does this abiding take place, Pastor? It takes place in prayer. I won't even go to intercession yet. Because see, in order to intercede, you first have to develop and establish a prayer life. No trainer will send their fighter into a ring ill-prepared to fight. The fighter might go, but the trainer knows whether they're ready or not. No trainer in their right mind. So God's not going to send you into the level of intercession when you don't even have an effective prayer life where you come before him as Abba, Father, Papa, Daddy, where you truly know him. Because once you know him, intercession is no problem. Why is intercession no problem? Intercession is no problem because there's nothing impossible with your God.
I got somebody else again, didn't I? Woke somebody else up. You serve the God who never loses. You serve the God who never runs out of promises. You serve the God that once he gives you something, his resources are not depleted by that. You serve the God, if it's not there, he can create it and make it come into existence. But you got to know him first before you start dealing with an adversary who will merely deceive you and trick you and then whoop on you and then have you over there pouting. When Jesus will have you rejoicing. Get to know him. Get to know him in prayer. Get to know him in prayer. Build your walk in relationship. Pastor, what makes you think I don't pray? What makes you think I don't have a prayer life? I don't have that intimacy with God. Your character, your conduct, if it doesn't reflect Christ, you don't have that connection. And the reason you don't have that connection is because you won't pick up the phone when he calls. But when you have it, it affects every area of your life. Your dwelling in him will affect everything that you engage in. It's not a scolding. It is vitally necessary for every believer. Don't settle for 10 minutes anymore. Don't just give him a quick 10. Well, how long shall I pray? Go for an hour now. You've been at the 10 and the 15 long enough. Go for an hour now. Well, I'm already at the hour. Go 2 hours. Well, I'm already doing 2 hours. Go 3. Well, I'm already at 3 hours. Go 4. Well, I don't have time. Yes, you do. If you can give God 3 straight solid hours, from that, start your day, and just throughout the day, keep your mind stayed on him. Throughout the day, stay in constant fellowship with him. Throughout your day, he will keep you at perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Hallelujah. Dwell. Okay. I said go to Hebrews chapter 5. We didn't get there, but we did go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. Amen. You got that one? I read it to you in the Amplified Translation. Pray over that word, that one scripture. Get it in your heart. Get it in your spirit. I'm going to conduct myself like Jesus did. And in order to do that, I've got to read the Gospels. I got to see how he lived his life, and I got to follow after him and pattern myself after him. If I want to be effective for the kingdom of God, this I must do. Amen? Hallelujah. All right, stand to your feet. I kept you long enough. First John chapter 2, verse what? What version? All right, good, good, good. Master, we thank you for tonight. I thank you for your sons and daughters. I thank you for their time and patience, and I thank you for what you've manifested tonight. Thank you for blessing the Aquino family with their business. And thank you, Father God, for touching what? Did we get her name, Pastor Lucia? Midori. Thank you for moving on Midori's behalf. We stand in agreement that the work is done. And that, Lord, she will give you the praise. Though she may not acknowledge you now, she will shortly in Jesus' name. I cover everyone in the blood of Jesus, those that were here as well as those that are here now. From the youngest to the eldest, I cover everyone in the precious blood of Jesus. Now, Lord God, bless your sons and daughters. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance on you, and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That the gates of hell will not prevail against you, but you will triumph over the gates of hell. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody who agrees said amen. Amen. All right, be blessed in Jesus' name. Thank you for coming out. Greet one another in the name of the Lord. Celebrate the victories that Christ Jesus has given you. Hallelujah.